Morning. Today's daf in Chulin Chav Dalet. We are in Chav Gimel Amud Beis. We are starting today with a Mishnah. And again, you know how it's going now. We've been doing this last couple of days. We're going to do this a couple more days here at the end of the first perek. And that is, we're going to look at mirror images. Things that apply to one but do not apply to other, and things that serve as basically as mirror images to one another. This will take us today, tomorrow, and Monday. Today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Right? Days of the week. I learned it as a kid. I pretty much know it anyway. Sunday is where we're going to finish with this, the Mishnah. The Mishnah over here now is going to be comparing and contrasting Parah Aduma to that of the Egla Rufa. So Kasher B'Parah, Pasul B'Egla. Kasher B'Egla, Pasul B'Parah. So what is good for the Parah is disqualified for the Egla, and vice versa. Tanur Rabbanan. And so immediately we look right at the Gemara, where the Gemara quotes a Braisa. Parah b'shchita k'sher b'arifa p'sula. When it comes to the parah, so how do you prepare it? You shecht it. When it comes to the egla rufa, no, you don't shecht. In fact, if you did, that disqualifies it. It goes without saying. I didn't make this point very clear, but I'm sure you know. But just in the event that you know, egla rufa, that is the decapitated calf. Where in the event that there is a murder victim that was discovered outside the city, and it's somewhere between two cities. We take out a measuring, we take out a ruler, we measure, see which city is closer. City that's closer is going to go through the procedure of the Egla Rufa. We are focusing only on one aspect, on one detail, and that is the preparation, the way that you are going to terminate the animal, the Egla Rufa, and that is through Arifa. In fact, it's in the name, Egla Arufa. So you take a hatchet and you go into the back of the neck. Not clear in the Torah, neither in the Gemara as well. You go all the way through, you total decapitation. Are you looking to cut the simanim as well? Are we just going to be going through the vertebrae? Not really clear, however. Certainly back of the neck. That we know for sure. So over here now, we're just simply contrasting. When it comes to the Parah Aduma, it's a traditional shechita from the front of the neck. When we're talking about the Egla Rufa, just the opposite. And Egla Barifa Kshera B'Shechita Psula. And so now continuing in the Braisa, when it comes to the Egla, so it's done with Arifa, with the back of the neck. And by a para, that would be a disqualification. Nim says, Kasher b'para, pasul b'egla, Kasher b'egla, pasul b'para. So the Braisa, same result as our Mishnah, that what is good for one is bad for the other. They are inversions of one another. V'tei parak sher b'arifa mikav v'chomer. And here, once again, the Gemara is going to do what we did yesterday, and that is develop arguments where you could have argued otherwise. So let's start off with a para, where Arifa should be okay by a Parah Aduma. Why should it be okay? Based on the following argument. Uma Egla Shalah Hukshur B'Shchita Hukshur B'Arifa. An Egla Arufa where Shchita doesn't work and Arifa does work. Parah Shehukshur B'Shchita Eino Din Shehukshur B'Arifa. So the Parah which is acceptable with Shchita, so how much more so should it be acceptable with Arifa? I made the point yesterday, I'll say it again. I don't fully understand the Kal V'Chomers over here. Kal V'Chomers are generally predicated on the idea that this is a Kal and this is Chomer, that this is more stringent than this. When talking about Shchita and Arifa, it's hard for me to see exactly what is more stringent than the other. They're just simply different. So different doesn't mean that one is stronger than the other or more than the other. So I don't quite frankly understand the Kal V'Chomer. And what makes my confusion even more, it's like therapy session right now. I'm like on the couch. And what makes my confusion even more is that in just a moment, I know the Gemara is going to be arguing the other way. So in other words, if they are different and it's not like one's building on top of the other, so then I really don't understand how the Kal V'Chomer works. Okay, that was just me on the therapy couch. Okay, I'm a crumb. We are now in the top of Chav Dal Amud Aleph, so I could have made a Kal V'Chomer, V'Shachat, V'Chuka. So the Torah says, regarding the Parah Aduma, that you're going to be shechting, and the Torah also says, Chuka. So that means to say, when the Torah announces something is done as a Chok, it means this is the way to do it, and there is no deviation. You cannot do it any other way. V'Shchita in B'Arifa. Lo, can only be done with Shchita and not with Arifa. V'Chol Hecha D'Chziv B'Chukah Lo D'Oshin and Kal V'Chomer. The Gemara says, is that a universal truth? That every time we have the word Chok, it means that specifically it has to be done that way and no other way. And logic won't allow us to go in any other direction. Now we know that regarding Yom Kippur, the Torah repeatedly says the words Chok, and meanwhile, by Yom Kippur, here's the drasha. V'asau chatas. The Torah says that of the two goats that we're going to be selecting, one of them is going to be made a chatas. Hagoral oso chatas v'en Hashem oso chatas. What determines which of the goats is going to be a chatas? The answer is the goral. Only a lottery. The Kohen cannot go and simply point to one of the goats and say, this one's La Hashem and this one's the chatas. So, Sheyachov alo dinhu. Now the Gemara says, now I might have thought, using an argument, here's what we could have said. Umamba makam shlo kiddush agorah kiddush Hashem. Now, in a place where gorel simply doesn't work, and meanwhile, verbal designation does, Rashi over here points out that we're talking about kinei zavim as an example. Right? Rashi writes, kigon kinei zavim. An example of this would be, let's say, for example, a pair of birds. A pair of birds where, let's say, a woman who's given birth has to go to the base of Mikdash and bring a pair of birds. One of them is a chatas, the other is an ola. Determination of those birds is not done through a goral, but rather done through shame. Simple verbal designation. The Kohen's going to simply identify one being a chatas and the other one being an ola. To which now the Gemara is saying, Vahalo dinu, umamba makum shalu kiddush agorel kiddush Hashem. So let's say the birds, for example, where gorel is not going to be mekadosh, but verbal designation is, makum shakiddush agorel, I know you didn't shakiddush Hashem. So by Yom Kippur, if gorel works, so for sure verbal designation should work as well. That's the kal vachomer. And tamalomer vaso chatas, ha gorel sa chatas, vein Hashem oso chatas. To which we have a drasha that only the gorel only the goral can designate, but verbal designation cannot designate. Period. Ad kan. That's the end of the braisa. The problem the Gemara is about to have with this braisa is, wait one second. It's Yom Kippur. We're learning halachas regarding Yom Kippur. The logical argument could have taken me in another direction. It just happens to be that we have a drasha that blocks the argument. But the argument could have taken me there. Now wait one second. By Yom Kippur, isn't everything in Yom Kippur under the umbrella of chok? And so that means to say then that we would never even have entertained the argument to begin with. Why does the Braisa over here provide an argument which is only stopped by a special drasha, when meanwhile chok should be enough to say this is the way it's done Yom Kippur and end of discussion? So Taima, and the Gemara makes exactly that point now. Taima the kasav rachman of aso chatas halav hachi darshin kavachomer. So we would have darshin the kavachomer. So how could that be? To which the Gemara's response, Miet Rachmana Gabi Egla Arufa Zos. Barifa Veina Cheris Ba'arifa. So the Gemara says, yeah, that's true. Generally speaking, that's true. Kavachomer would have worked. But regarding the Egla Arufa, we have a Miet. The Torah says the word Zos. So this is done with Arifa. Nothing else is done with Arifa. Vitea Egla Ksher B'Shchita Mikavachomer. Now we're going to go just in the other direction. So let's say now that the Egla should be allowed to go through the procedure of Shchita. So here the Gemara now is arguing in the other direction. Well, we know Shechita works by the Parah. We know that Arifa does not work by the Parah. If Arifa works by the Egla, shouldn't Shechita for sure work by the Egla as well? Be'arifa in B'Shechita lo. The Torah says, Varu ha'egla. Only, this is the only way it can be done. And there's no other procedure that can be done. It has to be done. It can only be done through the decapitation from the back of the neck, not from the front. Okay. That kind of takes us through our first sugya of this morning, the comparison, the contrast of the Shechitas HaPara and the Arifas HaEgla. Next topic of discussion over the course of this morning are going to be eligibility to work in the Beis HaMikdash. Two people are going to be working, two groups of people are working in the Beis HaMikdash, Kohanim and Leviim. Kohanim's job is very clear. Avoda. Kohanim are doing the Avoda. What about the Leviim? So Leviim basically have two jobs in the Beis HaMikdash. They are Misha'arim and Mishoririm. We're going to see this in greater detail when we get to the Masechtos of Midos and Tamid. But basically they are on guard. That's Misha'arim. They're in charge of the gate, Sha'ar. And they're also involved of the choir, Mishoririm. So the Kohanim are going to be running the choir section of the Beis HaMikdash. When karbanos are being brought, it's brought al shir, specifically when the wine is poured. The fifth parak of Sukkot describes this in great detail. Exactly, is the choir made up of just voices or its instruments as well? So the fifth parak of Sukkot is going to be discussing that in great detail. And so over here now, we're basically going to talk about eligibility to be working in the Beis HaMikdash as a Kohen, and eligibility to be working in the Beis HaMikdash as a Levi. and what exactly are going to be setting up the criteria? When are you eligible and when do you become ineligible? And the answer is very simple. I'll summarize basically the entire daf in a sentence. For Levim, it's age. For Kohanim, physical blemishes. That's it. That's really that is what we're going to be doing over the course of the next of the remainder of today's daf. Although, to be fair, as we're going to see in just a moment, the Levim in age, the Torah says it. The Torah says from 30 to 50. Good. So by the Levim in age, it really is only limited to the Midbar. Meaning, the Gemara is going to make this point coming up, I'm foreshadowing, when we go and set up shop in Shiloh for almost 400 years, 369 years, and when we set up the Beis HaMikdash, so there are not going to be any age restrictions as it relates to a Levi. At least, you're not too old. In terms of 30 being the starting point, maybe. The Gemara doesn't make that point clear. But in terms of becoming too old, so that is not a restriction in Shiloh and in the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. It's only as it relates to the Midbar. And I can give a Svara, although the Gemara doesn't make this point super clear, but the Svara is very simple. The Svara is in the Midbar. What were the Levim's jobs? Schleppers. Right. They were the official schleppers. Now, it's not a nice way to describe it. We're talking about the Klei HaMishkan, but they were the official schleppers. So good. So in other words, you need real physical strength and vigor. And so that's why the Torah gives a parameter of 30 to 50. Okay, that's a simple Svara. Gemara is kind of going to kind of say it, but that seems to be the best way to explain it. The official. Okay. Kasher b'Kohanim, possible Levim. Kasher b'Levim, possible Kohanim. And so here we have the Mishnah. And again, the Mishnah goes into this sing-song of what's good for this is not good for this, and what's good for this is not good for this. And we're comparing and contrasting Kohanim and Levim. Tanur Rabbanan, we start with a Braisa. Kohanim b'mumim p'sulim b'shanim k'sherim, Levim b'mumim k'sherim b'shanim p'sulim. And what exactly is the benchmark, the criteria? So I know I already gave it away, but the Braisa says very clearly, for Levim, age, not physical blemish. For Kohanim, physical blemish, not age. Nimsa kasher b'Kohanim, possible Levim, kasher b'Levim, possible Kohanim. Good. And so what is a criteria for Kohen is not a criteria for Levi, and vice versa. Menahanim ilotanu rabbanan. Now where is this coming from? So the Gemara now is quoting a Braisa. The Braisa reads, Tanu rabbanan zos asher Levim. Matam alam lefisha nemar mi ben chamishim shana yashuv. The Torah says that at 50 years of age, yashuv. Okay, so we are going to have a retirement party for the Levi. Thank you so much for your work and effort. We really appreciate it. Okay, after 50, what do you do? Okay, what's it called? You sit and learn. Okay, plant a little bit in the garden. So chamishim shana yashuv. Laman levim shashanim postum. So we see that by the levim, so years are going to be a postal. Now, what about physical blemishes? I might have thought that physical blemishes would be a postal vis-a-vis Levim. Again, a really interesting, a fascinating Havamina. And yes, the Gemara is going to do the same thing as it has been doing now for the last couple of days. It's going to explore a Kavachomer to arrive at this conclusion. But even the Havamina is very strange. I mean, let's just spell it out. By the Kohanim, a physical blemish is going to be a postal because they're doing the Avoda. And for the Avoda, so we know that a mum is posted by the Avoda. So Levim, what are they doing? Now, they are helping, they're aiding, they're facilitating. But they're not doing the Avoda, the carrying of the Klei HaMishkan is not an Avoda per se. So even this Hava Mina, I'm going to admit, it's very hard. It's very hard to understand why it is that we are going to entertain the idea that a mum should be a postal as it relates to the Levim, who are not necessarily doing the Avoda, they're just simply helping, aiding, facilitating. So if it didn't, but the Gemara makes a kavachomer. So again, the kavachomer is predicated on the fact that, you know, when it comes to a Kohen, so years don't affect his service, and a blemish does. When it comes to Levim, years affect his service, so for sure, blemishes should affect him as well. So Tam Lomer, Zos Asher Levim. Zos La Levim, Vein Acheres La Levim. No. In other words, while the Torah is saying the word zos, it's a miut, only years are going to be creating ineligibility for the Levim, but nothing else, not a blemish. And now what we're going to do, just we're going to go in the other direction. We're going to swing it the other way. Yachol yuakarnim psulim b'shanim v'alo dinhu. Now the Gemara is considering, well, maybe by Kohen, so maybe there should be an age requirement in addition to blemishes. Why? Umalavim shein mum and posel mehem shein posel mehem. Kohanim shein mum and posel mehem inu din shein shein posel mehem. So as it relates to a Levi, we know that years are a disqualifier, but not blemishes. So by a Kohen, if blemishes are a disqualifier, so for sure years should be a disqualifier as well. So to that, once again, we have a drasha. The drasha says that as it relates to years, only years are going to be a posel. So asher levim velo asher lekohanim, and not for the kohanim. Yachol b'shilo bebeis olamim. Cain, I might have thought now that as far as levim are concerned, the age bracket of 30 to 50 in the years of service might be also true both by Shilo and by the Beis HaMikdash. The Torah over here in the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar tells us that the reason why there is an age requirement of 30 to 50 is because they are the official schleppers of the Mishkan. The only time that there is an age requirement of 30 to 50, where you start at 30 and you end at 50, is because of the fact that they're putting the Mishkan on the shoulder, literally. So there is an age requirement. But, however, once upon entering into Eretz Yisrael and setting up permanent shop, either in Shiloh or in the Beis HaMikdash, where there is no longer a requirement to be the schleppers, so therefore therefore there is no longer age requirements. Now again, I say age requirements. Do I mean upper and lower? Do I mean just upper? Not totally clear from the Gemara. Kasuv Echad Omer mi ben chamish ve'esrim shana v'mala. The Kasuv Echad Omer mi ben shloshim. So when exactly are the Levim first eligible to do the avoda of the Mishkan? I say avoda, I mean the schlepping, right? In other words, we're talking about the Levim. A discrepancy in Psukim. One pasuk says 25. They start work at 25, and another one says they start work at 30. And which one is it, 25 or 30? Iyef shalomar shloshim shekvar nemar chavhei. V'yef shalomar chavhei shekvar nemar shloshim. And obviously, when it comes to numbers, numbers happen to be a precise measurement. So I can't say 25 and then say 30, and I can't say 30 and then say 25. It's one or the other. So haketzad, so the Gemara says, so we need an explanation. Chavhei lilmod u'shloshim la'avoda. So basically at 25, so they go to Mishkan University. Mishkan University, in which they're going to be getting a undergrad and a bit of a master's degree in terms of how exactly to be doing the avoda in the Mishkan. Now again, I'm using the word avoda over here slightly loosely, meaning they're not doing the avoda per se, but the carrying of the Mishkan, the Klei HaMishkan, understanding the nature of the Kelim and what they are used for. So that is going to be starting at age 25. And then at age 30, so after the limud, so after all the education, so then at 30 they start work. Mikan latam mishlo ra siman yafe b'mishnaso heishanim shuv eino roa. And over here now, what we can learn from here is the following, right? Most of us in this room are not Levim, some are. There still is a point for all of us to learn. And that is, when do you give up on learning? Now, the real answer to that question is never. never give up on learning. However, in terms of a benchmark, in terms of what should be an expectation of when we see success in learning, so 5 years should be, 5 years is a benchmark. Meaning by virtue of the fact that the Torah is giving them a window of 25 to 30 in which to learn, so that means that 5 years of learning is when you should expect mastery over a given subject. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos comes readily to my mind. The Gemara is not going to make this point, but I think it's great. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos tells us, the famous Mishnah, we're all familiar with it. The Mishnah says that, Saben Chamish Lamikra, that at 5 years of age you start learning Chumash. Then at 10 you start learning Mishnah. Then at 15 you start learning Gemara. And so clearly the Mishnah is working with this 5 year increments, so that for every 5 years there's an expectation of mastery over a given subject. Here's a really interesting Rashi on the Daf. Rashi says, Shlo Ra Siman Yafe. So in other words, what exactly are we looking at after 5 years? Meaning, what exactly are we seeing as a benchmark of success in learning? I know educationally this is a really big question, but Rashi addresses this in all of two words. Okay, I credit Rashi for being so succinct. He makes his point so clearly and so quickly. Rashi says, Shlo Ra Siman Yafe, Lomeid V'Shochachal. Meaning, if Rashi over here is talking about focusing on retention, meaning if after 5 years you can't retain, so then there obviously is an issue in consideration. Rashi over here is not talking about comprehension. Rashi is over here not talking about analysis. right? Sharp analysis. Rashi over here is just talking about retention. If for 5 years you're going over halacha and you can't seem to retain it, so then there's an issue. So then I don't want to use the words give up. That's, you know, never use those words. But in other words, you can identify now that there is in fact a concern and a consideration. Okay.
Here, I think it was talking about the shiur, the singing, rather than schlepping this 5 years thing. You don't need 5 years to learn.
I mean, Rashi. I'll go back one Rashi. Rashi says lomod hilchos avoda. I mean, that's what Rashi says.
Okay.
I hear you, and I know you have a, you have an interest in this. You're part of the tribe, but Rashi says it's about learning hilchos avoda. Okay. Rav Yossi Omer Gimel Shanim. Rav Yossi says not 5 years, but rather 3 years. Says Rav Yossi. Shenemar Ula Gadlam Shanim Shalosh Lamdam Sefer V'Lashon Kazdim. We're going into Sefer Daniel, the beginning of Sefer Daniel. So Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. So they're taken into the palace of Nebuchadnezzar. And there, they were taken at a young age as children, and there they were trained, meaning they were identified as being the precocious young Jews. So they were brought into the Babylonian palace, where they're going to be serving the king, becoming the Jewish conciliers of the king. And so they were there for 3 years of training. So according to this opinion, in terms of success and learning, not 5 years, but rather 3 years. It's a pasuk in Daniel. Now, so over here, basically, what we have is a discrepancy of when should there be an expectation of mastery of learning? Is it 5 years or is it 3 years? And what we have in our Gemara is, interestingly enough, a machlokus on this matter. The Edach, now, in terms of how each position is going to counter the other position, Shani Lashon Kastin de Kalil. That's just talking about learning the Babylonian language, Aramaic. Aramaic is easy. Now, I know many people would argue the point, but... The Gemara says that the Lashon custom is easy, so therefore 3 years mastery. But when talking about generally it's 5 years. What is the argument the other way? V'idach shani hilchos avoda de takifin. Oh, there, if you're saying that 3 years is a general benchmark, what are you going to do about the psukim in the Torah regarding the Mishkan? No, the Mishkan is talking about the halachas of the avoda. That's difficult. So for that, that's the exception. Generally, you can expect mastery in 3 years. But when it comes to the avoda and the halachas of the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan and all the laws of Zvachim, Menachos, etc., five-year program. Tana Rabbanan Kohen, Mishiyavish Tesaros Achiyaskin, Kashal Avoda. Now, we said that when it comes to a Kohen, so there is no age limitations. And what we're going to do now is we're going to take that back just a little bit. There are some age limitations. In other words, you can't be a minor and do the avoda. And there's going to come to a point, as a Kohen, where you're simply going to be too old. And so over here now in the Braisa, the Braisa is going to go over the age parameters of a Kohen. Even though Shanim are not a posel, but there are just some basic things you have to take into consideration. So one, Mishiyavish Tesaros. So in terms of being a minor cannot do the Avoda. We will be talking in just a moment about Duchening, right? A minor Kohen Duchening. Okay? Hot topic, but not. It's not a current topic. It's not a modern topic. It's something that has been around for forever. So as long as there's been Torah, there's a question of whether or not a katan can duchen. I will come back to that in just a little bit from now. But anyway, mishiyavish te sa'ara. So you have to be physically mature, 13 years of age, with sa'aras. Ad shiaskin, until you get too old, physically too old. So until those points in time, you're kosher. Now, you're going to wonder, what does that mean? You don't have to wonder. The Gemara is going to address that in just a moment. Kasher Lavoda. Umumim Posambo. However, as a Kohen, regardless of whatever age he is, if he has a physical blemish, that disqualifies. Ben Levi, may Ben Shloshim Vad, Ben Chamishim Kasher Lavoda, Vishanim Posambo. When it comes to a Ben Levi, 30 to 50, as clearly instructed in the Torah. However, we're going to make the point again. As far as working in the Beis HaMikdash, so what will be the disqualifier? Not age, but rather a good voice. He's going to need to maintain and preserve some sort of good voice in order to be working in the Beis HaMikdash. I'm Rav Yossi Maikra. What is a pasuk that would make this point very clearly? That when it comes to a Levi, he needs a good voice. They are like one in terms of those who are blowing on the trumpets and those who are singing in order to produce a beautiful sound. Right? Vayikah Echad, Rashi, over there on the very top of the Amud writes, Afilu Zekenim B'mashma. In other words, in this pasuk, it seems to give an indication that age is not a consideration when the Levim are singing in the Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't matter what their age is, as long as they can produce a good sound, a quality sound, so they can be part of the choir and they can be part of the band. Ad Shiaskin Ad Kama. Now we're saying regarding the Kohen that even though age is not going to disqualify, but just simple physical ability, some sort of dexterity, and some maintain physical strength, agility. Some agility. Ad kama, Amar Rabbi Elah, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Ad Shirases. So the Gemara over here points to shaking as being the time in which the Kohen is going to have to go into retirement.
Is Shirases the type of mum, or is it separate?
I was thinking the same question. It's a great question. I don't know. Dr. K is asking whether or not rhesus, as mentioned on the Gemara over here, just simply means that you're physically too old to perform, or is that halachically a disqualification? Is it a mum? And I was wondering the exact same thing myself.
If it's a mum, they would definitely have abadon.
Okay. What's the difference? There may be halachic considerations. Okay. In other words, b'di'evid. I'm thinking off the top of my head. In other words, b'di'evid, if it's a mum, so it's apostle afila b'di'evid. But if it's not a mum, maybe b'di'evid would be fine. Okay, I'm thinking out loud. Tanan Hasam. The Mishnah in Mikvaos. Now, the Mishnah Mikvaos over here seemingly is going to have nothing to do with what we're talking about. And to be fair, it has nothing to do with what we're talking about. However, right. In other words, age will be consideration based on this Mishnah, and that's why we introduced this Mishnah. We know that if a man has a seminal emission, so he has to go to the mikvah. He's got to go to the mikvah. In order for him to become tar, it's very simple. Tefila b'mikvah. Harav Shemesh, okay, he's good. He now is perfectly tahor. When going into the mikvah, the following you have to take into consideration. In other words, he had the discharge, it's done. In other words, it's out, it's over. However, the consideration that the Mishnah is having over here is the following. Maybe there's still some sort of residue zera that is on his aver, and so what happens is that the next time he urinates, so that'll push the zera out, and then it'll come into contact with his body as it's coming out, and it'll make him tummy once again. So therefore, what the Mishnah is going to tell us is that as both advice and a halachic requirement, he should go and urinate prior to toveling in the mikvah in order to discharge any residue zera that is found in his body. And that's the Mishnah in Mikvah. So the Mishnah writes, Balkeri shetava velohito mayim. So a Balkeri that tovels in the mikvah having not gone to the bathroom, so lechishiyato tummy. So the next time he urinates, he's going to become tamei. Rabbi Yossi Amar b'chol v'zakin tamei b'yala v'vari tahor. And Rabbi Yossi now makes a distinction between somebody who's old and infirmed, now and informed or infirmed, not clear, but in other words, it could be one of the two. But if somebody is yelad ubari, but if he's young, yelad over here does not mean child. Yelad over here just simply means young and vigorous. So then there's no need for him to go and urinate. And the assumption over here is that because of his youth, so that means that when he had a discharge, he had a full discharge, and there was no residue zera that's in his aver. So yelad ad kama, so what are we talking about over here? Meaning, when we're saying yelad over here, like I just got done explaining, it doesn't mean a child. It just simply means somebody who's youthful and vigorous. What would be a benchmark for that? So Amar Rabbi Elah, Amar Rabbi Chanina, and this is now where the two gemaras get threaded together. So kol she'omid araglo achas v'cholitz min alo. V'noel min alo. So if you can stand on one leg and not have it to support yourself and lean yourself in order to put on or take off a shoe, that is considered that you have enough vigor so that you don't have to urinate prior to toveling in the mikvah. And presumably, it would also back up to the previous halacha of a kohen still being able to do the avoda. Amro lava Rabbi Chanina Shaya ben Shmonim Shana. They reported by Rabbi Chanina, who parenthetically, by the way, was a doctor. They said regarding Rabbi Chanina that he was 80 years of age. So at 80 years of age, he was able to take off or put on a shoe, and while not having to lean on anything, he could do it while standing on one leg. So Amar Rabbi Chanina Chamin b'shem shesachtani imi bialdusi hein amduli beizik nasi. And Rabbi Chanina gives us his particular formula for keeping his youth and his vigor. And that is hot baths and also oil, massages with oil. So that was, and it was done to him at a very young age by his mother, and that is what kept him youthful and young even in his old age. When your beard is full, so at that point in time, then you can become a shliach zibor. And to get in front of the amud, v'lisas kapav and to dochen. Now at this point in time, just pause for a moment in the Gemara. Sounds pretty clear from the Gemara that for davening for the amud, for a kohen dochening, so even as you become an adult, meaning halachically an adult 13 years of age, so not yet. Meaning it sounds like from the Gemara that you have to be even more mature and older. Now to be a shliach zibor, totally understood. Meaning a shliach zibor is a representative of the zibor. He's got to be older. In other words, he's got to understand what it means to have lived 13 years of age, even though halachically you're an adult. But you don't really have enough experience of life yet. You haven't experienced tzaras yet. And so when everyone gets to adulthood, so everyone experiences them. And so therefore he'll make a good shliach zibor because he understands. Duchening as well, really interesting. That sounds like from the Gemara over here that a Kohen should not really partake of duchening until he gets to a certain age, until he is, right, mali zikano, until his beard is filled. Okay, very interesting. I'm not going to go through the Tosos right now, but please see Tosos over here, the top Tosos on the Amud, who discusses whether or not a Kohen between 13 and when his beard gets filled, whether he can be duchening. Just if you see the end of Tosos, he says the answer is yes. There could be a discrepancy between duchening from time to time versus regularly duchening. That point's not clearly made in Tosfos, but it sounds that way. What about a Kohen who's a minor, right? And I'm sure you've seen it, where a Kohen who's a minor goes and duchens. Tosfos at the very end talks about, yes, you can allow a minor to duchen, a minor Kohen to duchen, but only with gedolim. You see the end of Tosfos for a discussion of that. And it turns into a much lengthier discussion in terms of what exactly is the allowability, the eligibility of a Kohen duchening when he is below bar mitzvah. Anyway, we continue in the Gemara.
When he's doing, is he doing a mitzvah or is it a chinuch?
I understand. It's a big topic. I'm not even covering the basics. I'm just sending you to the right places. Me'emus like kasher la'avoda. So at what point in time is he kasher to do the avoda? Mishiyavish te'saros, from the time that he is physically mature. Rabbi Omer ani achiyeh ben esrim. Now Rabbi says 20 years of age. So Rebbe now puts the lower limit of a Kohen doing the Avodah at 20. And in a moment, the Gemara is going to ask the question, is Rebbe now saying that as just general protocol? Is it a Geder de Rabbanan? What exactly is 20 according to Rebbe? Stay tuned. I'm Rav Chista, my time of the Rebbe, Dichsi, Vayamidu, Salavimi, Ben Esrim, Shana, Vamala, Lansecha, Malachas, Beis Hashem. So the Pasuk in Ezra describing as the Kohanim. Now, I know the Pasuk says Levim, and I know that's confusing, but the Gemara itself is going to be raising that difficulty in just a moment. But the Kohanim are starting to do the Avoda at 20 years of age. It's a Pasuk in Ezra. So that is a good support for Rebbe. The Edach, now those who argue with Rebbe, so they will tell you, L'nafsech Shani. That's not talking about any Avoda. That's talking about Avoda of Nitzuach. What does that mean? Rashi writes over here, Demashma la'avoda avodas kvedus, hatzrichos Nitzuach. That's talking about very hard work that requires supervision. Not exactly clear to me what kind of extra labor we're talking about. But in other words, that Pasuk in Ezra is not describing the regular avoda. Regular avoda can be done by a Kohen as long as he's bar mitzvah, as long as he is halachically an adult. This 20-year-old description given in Ezra, that's talking about for, if you don't agree to Rebbe, it's talking about extra hard work. Now the Gemara is bothered. How are you using that pasuk to describe Kohanim? That pasuk is talking about Levim. So now, parenthetically, by the way, if we went with a Havamina, which obviously we're not going to, but if we went with a Havamina, you can ask a wonderful question. On today's daf, you don't even have to go back that far. On today's daf, we talked about the Levim being how old? Maybe 25, maybe 30. In other words, how could the pasuk over here be talking about 20 as it relates to the Levim? Okay, but we don't need to answer that question because it's a Havamin. It's not the Maskana. So, Kidur Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Damar Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Basrim, Va'ar Ba'am Mekamos, Nikru Kohanim Levim. 24 places where the Kohanim are in fact referred to as Levim. Vizeh Echad Mehem, and this is one of them. Va'Kohanim Levim ben Eitzadok. The Gemara, This Gemara is mentioned a bunch of times throughout Shas, and the Gemara always quotes this particular pasuk as just an example and an illustration of the fact that sometimes the Kohanim are referred to as Levim. And if you think about it, technically, it does make sense. They are Levim. They're from Shevet Levi. Okay. Ten Rabbanan Ish Mizrach Aladur Asam Mikanam Rabbi Elazar Katan Pasul Avoda Ve'afilu Tam. A minor cannot do the avoda even if he does not have blemishes. Now, at what point in time can he do the avoda? So when he first is halachically an adult, 13 years of age, together with shtei saras. Now, however, the kohanim would not allow him to do the avoda until 20 years of age. So over here, in this particular brisa that we just quoted, so this brisa now is going like Rebbe, sounds that way. The brisa says that technically the Kohen could start doing the avoda at 13, but the Kohanim restricted until 20. Now, Igadam Reha Rebbe, Hiva Afil Apostle Durabban Leislei. Now, it could very well be that this is exactly Rebbe's viewpoint, meaning that is there a real psul from 13 to 20? No. Not even an Issa Durabbanan. What is it? We're just simply going to call it protocol. That the Kohanim just agreed upon themselves that really, even though 13 to 20, you could do the avoda, but you know what? It's best to bump up the minimum age to 20. And again, we could talk about experience, maturity, whatever the case is. But in other words, it's not even a psul de rabbanan from 13 to 20. Igadami Rebbe isle psul de rabbanan. So it could very well be that Rebbe subscribes to the idea that it's a psul de rabbanan. V'harabbananhi. And over here, and the way to understand the brisa is that it's a psul de rabbanan ulechatchila hu de law aval di'evad avoda sokshera. And as a psul de rabbanan, so then we would say lechatchila they should not be doing the avoda from 13 to 20. But the if done so post facto b'di'evad, in effect, would be kosher, being that it's only a psul de rabbanan. Adkan. I'm away for Shabbos. The Stu is going to be covering the daf tomorrow. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos.